Colossians chapter 1. You can go to your Takata Bible app or use your hard copy Bible, but let's look at this in the first chapter of the book of Colossians. And it's in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. And it's good to be grateful for all that God, our best friend, has done for us. But he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which or who, either one, hath made us meet or able. The word meet means you've been given an ability to do something, to be a partaker or to be a receiver, to be an enjoyer. If we hadn't been given the ability to digest, we wouldn't be able to eat and enjoy food and have it, you know, replenish and give nutrients to our body. So he's given us an ability, and that's this, to enjoy an inheritance or enjoy something set up and given for us to make a demand on as we see fit, of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, it tells in the next thing right here something that he's done for us. And it says, who has delivered or rescued, brought out. These words aren't just definable in a language. They also give an image. They give a picture and they imply a concept and a mindset. And he goes, who has delivered or rescued us or brought us out of the power or the control of darkness. Now, we talk about this particular scripture on the regular, but you can't hear this enough, that God has rescued you or brought you out of the control of darkness. Darkness can apply pressure to you. Now, in this word, darkness is every word of sin and evil and Satan himself. There's depression in darkness. There's sickness in darkness. There's sadness in darkness. There's anxiety in darkness. There's addiction. Anything, any tool that Satan and darkness would try to use to control you, you have been severed from it legally and vitally, meaning it has no hold on you other than what you permit now. You're not a slave to it anymore. If it's working in your life, or if it's doing any sort of shenanigans in your life, he wants you to know that you've got the ability and the authority to tell it no and put a stop to it. But you don't have to just roll over and take it. You're delivered from it. You're rescued out of it. You're brought away from it. You've been emancipated. It's another good imagery word. But you no longer are under the control of darkness. And he says, and he has translated, or he has moved you. He has divinely relocated you into the kingdom of his dear son, into the place where you're loved like Jesus is loved. I know that's a big mouthful, everything we just said, but I want you to hear the key points of that. He's done something for you. He's made you able to enjoy something that he's given you. He's brought you out of the control of darkness, and he's put you to the same place that Jesus is, where you get treated the same that Jesus does. Man, that we could stop right now and say, hey, this has been great. But he goes on to say this, in whom, so in this person, Jesus, his dear son, the son of his love is another way that's translated. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Redemption's a big word, but it means that we have a legal status of being out of something. Of no longer, yeah, thank you, Lord, no longer having to just put up with and suffer bad conditions. Now, we earn those bad conditions by our behavior and by being born in this world, but we're not going to do a deep dive in that tonight. I mean, that there's a lot of there is many ways we could go right now, but we want to keep this very simple and very, very straight ahead. And we had to mention these things so we could get to this particular line. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. First of all, I want you to hear this, because God wants you to hear it. You have been given forgiveness for every mistake, every wrongdoing, every sin, past, present, and future. Does that mean I can just, you know, do whatever I want? Well, if you're really in best friendship with God and you're enjoying a blood covenant lifestyle with him, you don't want to have anything to do with any action or participation in darkness ever again. You know exactly what it will give you. It'll give you a sense of guilt, and it'll give you a sense of feeling cut off. And he wants you to know, he said, if you make a mistake, if you mess up, I've got you covered. Hear that. I've got you covered. I've given you my forgiveness. It's a gift. It's not just a one-time thing where he says, I forgive you, and I forgive you, and I forgive you. Now, he's your best friend and you mess up. It's entirely right and appropriate and scriptural to say, sir, I blew it. I'm not hiding that from you. I'm bringing it right to you. I messed up, and I'm being honest with you about it. I'm making that plain to you about it. But he's already given you his forgiveness now and forever. And let that sink in for a second. He's already given it to you. So if there's anything in your life that is still trying to hold your mind down, make you feel like you deserve less than God's best, make you feel like you deserve punishment in some way, God's already paid the bill for that and told you he has preemptively given you his forgiveness. So what do I do with that then, Duke? Well, here's what you do. You decide you believe it. Sir, thank you. I decide that I believe that you've forgiven me. I take your forgiveness. I've got it. And I'm keeping it. Thank you for your forgiveness. Forgiveness is ours now. It's not for later. And of course, it's there later. Because, hey, listen, I dare say between now and the time I leave this earth, many, many decades from now, I'll make a mistake. And I'll need to rely on his forgiveness. Well, do I need to go get it again? No, I need to go and be reminded that I have it again. I need to go and be reminded again that I have it, that he's given it to me. And, you know, yeah, be honest about my mistake and be plain with him about it. And don't hide, but, you know, run to him with the problem. Don't run away from him. But also remind, yeah, sir, thank you. You've already given this forgiveness to me. I don't need to marinate in some, you know, mental tale of woe and guilt. That's not what you want for me. That's not the inheritance you set up for me. You want me to come get your forgiveness and get up and act like it never existed. Sure, learn the lesson. Absolutely right the wrong and apologize. But to carry the burden of guilt and shame of a mistake day in, day out, that's not what your best friend wants for you. And he's already set it up that you don't have to take that anymore. So right here, right now, just decide with me. You say, I'm laying down all that weight and guilt and sense of being condemned and damned like I deserve punishment. Hey, listen, you do deserve it. But he's paid for it. And he's given you his forgiveness as a gift. We're not earning it. It's presented as a gift from your best friend. Well, if your best friend gives you a gift, you know what's rude? To tell him you don't deserve it. Here's what the proper etiquette among best friends is. Thank you. I'll take it. Thank you so much. That's extremely kind of you. I really appreciate it. Well, now you understand why he says giving thanks unto the Father. Don't you appreciate being forgiven? Doesn't just the sound of it make you thankful for it? Absolutely. Thank you, sir. I'm so grateful to be forgiven by you. I'm so thankful that you've forgiven me. I'm so thankful that you've made me your best friend and that I'm forgiven. Doesn't that sound great? Well, then that's what we're doing. We're enjoying his forgiveness. And like I said before, it covers every mistake, every error, every sin, past, present, and future. Now, we covered that in some both review and just to introduce it again, if you haven't heard that before, we covered that to let you know that you've been forgiven by God, your best friend. For what? For everything. You are totally and completely forgiven. You are fresh. You are clean, as though it never existed. Well, so now, apply what you've talked about before. Now it's time to just act like it. Well, how do I do that? Well, first of all, you get up and just say, thank you, sir. Boss, I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm forgiven. I'm clean. I'm fresh. And life is good. And all that guilt and shame and weight and burden is gone. Well, what if I get reminded of it in the next minute? You open your mouth again and do the same thing. You stay steady. You hold firm in this belief. Sir, thank you. I'm forgiven. I don't care what I feel. I'm forgiven. Yeah, you're enforcing what you believe and what you put your confidence in. Well, hey, listen, when we remember and know and remember how forgiven we are, it makes it a lot easier to forgive others. It makes it a lot easier to forgive others. Now, I want to, with that statement, bring this in. God has commanded that we forgive. Jesus said it in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. I'll read it. We're going to be back there again to read it some, look at it more closely later. But this comes directly from the man who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said that over in the book of John, 14, 15, 16 chapters. Well, it said that he was the, and is the, God in the flesh. He is the Word of God made flesh. He and other things talk about, he is the face, the image and likeness of God. Man, that's some good stuff right there. But I want you to hear what he says in verse 25. He's talking about when you go to God with a request, first of all, you must decide to put all your confidence in him. And then second, in the 24th verse, he said, whatever you ask for, decide that you take it or accept it from God, that you walk away with it. Well, then in the 25th verse, he says, and when you stand praying, so right there and then, when you're still talking to God, your legal and actual, literal, vital father and best friend, he says, and when you stand praying or talking to him, forgive. Well, forgive for what? If you have anything against anyone. He says, and for this reason, so this is what we were going to get into and we're going to say. When God gives us an instruction or gives us a command, there's always a reason behind it that benefits us. Let's use in case in point what the Bible calls the first commandment with promise. And that was, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, for this is the first commandment with promise. In fact, I can give you that reference if you want to just jot it down for later, just to make sure I'm not being kooky. This is Ephesians 6, verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, commandment with promise, what does that mean? It's a commandment with a benefit. He's telling us to do something for our benefit. The Bible says that when you honor your parents, that it may be well with you. That it may be well with you. That's wonderful. Because it establishes a precedent that when God gives us instructions, they're for our benefit. He's never doing anything. Jesus said this. He said, I am come that you might have life. Satan, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So anything that this being, this shepherd, this savior, this best friend of ours tells us to do is always going to have life and enjoying it abundantly till it overflows as its motive behind it. He's never telling you to not do something to take fun away from you. He's telling you, do this or don't do this so it can be a benefit to you, to protect you, to help you, to make your life better, give you a better quality of life. It's always with your benefit in mind. It's always with my benefit in mind. So he says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Then he says, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. That your Father, which is in heaven. Now, does that mean, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you? No, he's talking to someone already in, a sheep already in the fold. We didn't know about forgiveness when we accepted his friendship. We didn't, other than maybe that he's forgiven us. Maybe we didn't even know that part. But we sure didn't know about this. But he's saying, if you're going to walk with me and enjoy being best friends with me, and you're going to receive the good things that I give you and the ways that I want to be generous to you, you can't carry around grudges. You can't hold on to unforgiveness. You can't hold on to the reason why you're mad at your aunt or your grandmother or even your own parents or siblings. You can't hold on to the reasons, you know, someone may have abused you and you've nursed that anger and hatred towards them for years. I get it. He doesn't say that whether it's legitimate or not. He doesn't specify, I need you to forgive unless it's a really serious grudge. No, he says, let it go. He says, let it go. Forgive. Decide to cancel it. Because it only stands to benefit you, so that my forgiveness can go to work in your life unhindered. What he's implying is, and being very straightforward about, is that if we hold on to unforgiveness, it is hindering his forgiveness from working. Now, keep this in the best friend context, in a covenant best friendship context and mindset. Do you want someone's grudge? Do you want your best friend's grudge against someone else to basically, that grudge keeps you at arm's length? Their hurt, their anger, their harbored resentment and unforgiveness to be like a wedge between you and them and your relationship with them? Of course not. You'll feel that. It'll limit how close you can be with them. Well, it's no different with God. He's saying, go ahead and decide to forgive so that A, I can be this generous best friend to you, and B, my forgiveness can go to work in your life unhindered. Do you want God to forgive you of your mistakes? Well, he's saying, go ahead and let all that junk go. Now, this is where we have all run into this statement. All of us have thought this at one time or another. Well, I'm trying to forgive. I just don't think I can. Let's nip that in the bud right now. This isn't a try. Notice what he said. Not try to forgive. He said forgive. Now, he's not unjust. We know this also, that in the book of 1 John chapter 5, it says that his commandments are not grievous or burdensome, which means that what he tells us to do, we can do it. So, goodness gracious, how do we forgive? And that's what we want to talk about. That's what this whole training block of instruction for this segment is about, how to forgive. How to forgive. Listen, we don't need to go get into something deep and way out there about forgiveness, and we haven't discussed the fundamentals and basics, which is this, how to do it. I mean, listen, wouldn't this be a great tool to carry around in your best friends with God bat belt, your war belt, if you will, to be able to carry around like, hey, I got something for this. I decide I forgive, you know, I'm forgiven. Well, I kind of gave it away, but let's go in depth about it. Let's talk about it. And let's keep it simple too. Let's not make this harder than it is. Let's also discuss this real quick as one more kind of introduction to this. Satan and darkness continually try to keep us in a place of feeling like we are not forgiven, to keep us in a mindset, a mentality, and a strong awareness of feelings of being unforgiven by God, as though we did something wrong and we are deserving of punishment for it, and that he's upset with us about it. It's pervasive. There's entire denominations set up and established around the premise of that we're guilty. And we've got to do penance to get out from underneath that. Well, when does that occur? I'm telling you right now, there's no act of any man on the earth other than what Jesus did for us. But there's nothing that we could do on our own to ever arrive at a place of erasing that mindset and that oppressive state of feeling unforgiven. In the book of 1 John, it's the little letter in the back near the book of Revelation. John, who was keenly aware of how much Jesus loved him and was committed to him, writes this in the third chapter in the 20th verse. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." But I want you to see that phrase, "if our heart condemn us." He's talking about being in a state of feeling unforgiven and where you're just tore up about that mistake on the inside of you. How about we just say it like this? It's bothering you. Well, how long ago was it? It could have been yesterday. It could have been months ago. He said, "Beloved," verse 21, "if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." Look at this concept. With this sense of guilt and being feeling unforgiven. Now, why do you say feeling and not that it's a reality? He just told us in the book of Colossians. We read the first thing, that he has already given us his forgiveness. He has already decided that we're forgiven. Isn't that awesome? He's already said that you and I are forgiven. He's already said that we have been forgiven and that we have his forgiveness. So what's the key here? Which one do I go with? We've got to decide to believe we're forgiven many times when we don't feel like it. We've got to decide to believe that we're forgiven when it doesn't look like it, when it's still bothering our mind. We've got to decide to enjoy this gift of his forgiveness totally by decision and not by how we feel. In fact, it will most often feel like that. That right in the middle of regret and yuck and wanting to kick yourself over making a mistake or of any kind, shape, or form, you're like, "Well, I decide that I believe what you say over how I feel, and that is this, that I'm forgiven, that you have forgiven me." Isn't that good? Well, that decision of accepting his forgiveness helps us to no longer have a heart that condemns us and beats us up. But I wanted to show you this very crucial thing. Satan wants to keep us bound, keep us imprisoned with a sense of being not forgiven. So over in the book of Ephesians, let's go over here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. You can go to EPH in your Takata Bible app and then tap chapter 4. And go to the 31st verse. Ephesians 4:31. And it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Now notice this, "even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." He's telling us to forgive the same way God's forgiven us. So we need to be aware of how forgiven we are before we go attempting to forgive someone else. That's why I said it's going to make it a whole lot easier. You may know in your heart, listen, I need to forgive this knucklehead. But hey, back up for a second. Have you and I ever acted like a knucklehead? Yeah. Has God forgiven us? Oh, absolutely. He told us. He told us he has. And he's actually has. It's very, very important to remember how forgiven we are. Well, then I can turn around and listen, there was a there was a situation where, man, I wanted to metaphorically kick some folk to the curb who just ticked me off no end. I was dealing with them in the course of my ministry duties, and I was aggravated. I said, sir, how long do I got to put up with this mess? I want to just take him. Just get rid of him. I'll never forget what he said. How many years did I put up with you? I went, oh, my word. I said, 37. He said, you can give him a little more time then, can't you? I said, absolutely. See, when he put it in context like that, I went, oh, yeah. See, I could give them something that he gave me, which is not only forgiveness, but a lot of very loving, long-suffering and patience. Well, yeah, it made it a lot easier to forgive them. So forgiveness, let's just say this. I want you to see this. He said, forgiving one another. Now, what's the statement that we've tripped over before that I mentioned earlier? Well, I'm trying to forgive them. It doesn't seem like I can. Forgiveness isn't accidental. We don't fall backwards into forgiveness. We don't, and we don't achieve some state of forgiveness where, okay, I forgive them now. Like it's suddenly, you accidentally arrive there. No, forgiveness is on purpose. Forgiveness is, let's say it like this, is a decision. Do you know why it's so awesome that forgiveness is a decision that we make instead of a feeling that we feel or a state that we achieve, like some, you know, forgiving nirvana? Is because a feeling and a state of being in forgiven, accidental state of forgiving, both of those can be taken away from us. Enough feelings and pressure can come, and they can make us feel like, not only do I not forgive them, I hate them even more than ever. But no, with a decision that you make with your will, that can't be taken away from you. Because you know when you decided it, you know where you decided it, you know the reasons why you decided it, and it's legal. And God backs you up 100%. Here's another translation of that in the Passion Translation. It says this: lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums. Look at this word: revenge, profanity, and insults. Goodness gracious. But instead, be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Man. That's solid talk right there. You know what I'm saying? That's some strong stuff. But notice, he wants us to use God's forgiveness of us as the standard. He wants us to use God's forgiveness of us as the golden prototype. And don't let weird thinking come out like, well, that's how God forgives. I could never do that. He just said, do it the same way. Which means that since God's forgiven us this way, we possess the ability to forgive the same way. Now, don't think, about you floating off the ground 5 feet and golden sparkles come out of your fingertips when you say, I pardon you and you are forgiven. No, it's the decision of heart. He's made your heart able to decide that someone else that has wronged you, grieved you, offended you in some way, shape, or form, that they're forgiven. I didn't write the reference down, but you know what I'm talking about. Jesus was nailed to a Roman cross. And he didn't have some loincloth up there. He was stripped naked for the, because not only was being on cross brutal, it was a shame. You were being shamed by the people that put you on that cross. And then all of his worldly possessions that he had on him, his clothing and what have you, was being, they were playing dice for it on the ground. And people were mocking him and making fun of him. We want to put it in 2022 language. They were trolling him and making fun of him. And say, if God's his father, let him, you know, call on him, have him come down. And in the middle of all this abuse, in the middle of all this murderous torture, Jesus prays this prayer and he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He made a decision to not go into the next phase of this most important chain of events the world's ever known. He wasn't going to go into that next phase carrying any burden of offense or revenge or bitter feelings. And listen, our man up there had all sorts of feelings going through his self. But he decided, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That was a decision. That wasn't an accident. Amen. And look at how he says it. Forgiving one another, even as, or in the same way that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. For God, for Christ's good, for Christ's cause, has forgiven you. And notice, it's past tense. Not that we'll forgive you, as though our forgiveness earns us forgiveness. He said, has forgiven you. Our forgiveness allows his forgiving power to work in our life unhindered. Listen, it is wonderful to go through our life knowing that we're forgiven and that there is nothing between us and God but love and good vibes. It's wonderful knowing you're forgiven. It's wonderful having that confidence in our heart towards God that John talked about, of knowing that we're forgiven, that there's nothing between us and him. There's no conscience-stricken moment like, man, I know I did wrong. Oh, my gosh. No, it's wonderful to know, man, I'm clean, and he's forgiven me. Of course I did wrong in my life before, but he's taken care of it, and he's wiped it away. That's a wonderful thing to enjoy all day, every day of your life. You hear what I'm saying? Well, let's look at this. Look over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew 6, 14 says this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Does that make it sound like it's conditional, like we're having to earn his forgiveness? Hear it in this way. Again, best friend context. He's already let us know he's given us his forgiveness up front. We already had it and didn't even know it. The Passion Translation, again, says it like this. We read a lot from that because of how simple it puts it into language that we talk every day. He says, when you pray, make sure you forgive the faults of others so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you. He said this, but if you withhold forgiveness from others, your Father withholds forgiveness from you. We're by holding on to the grudge. And listen, you don't have to go searching. You know if there's something in your heart bothering you about somebody else that you're holding on to. God, your best friend who dwells in you by his Holy Spirit, he's letting your conscience, your inner self, he's letting you know by your own heart, man. Because every time a thought of them comes up, it feels like you get angry again for the first time. Like you get, or that you're picking a scab of, you just think about them, you get angry all over. You know what I'm talking about? We don't need to make this more complicated than it is. He's wanting his forgiving power to continue to work in our life strong and every day. But if we hold on to that grudge, we're keeping out or rejecting his forgiveness too. Now we decide to forgive. And he makes it very simple and plain. Mark chapter 11, 25. Forgive if you have aught against any. Ought is an old English word, and that's a little unclear to us. Let's say it like this. If you've got anything against anyone, let it go. Not let it go like, I'm letting go. I'm letting go like it's some mantra. No, you decide with your will. I decide I forgive. Once and for all. And listen, you may need to take a natural step or two and get up in your room and take your foot and draw a line on the carpet and step over that as a line of departure for your own mind and say, I decide, step over that line, that I forgive this person now and forever. Now, along with that, let's make this very important point. We're not even implying you have to rush right out to the person who forgave you and be best friends with them, or rush right out and suddenly welcome them into your inner circle, or trust them with your, you know, most important inner secrets. Listen, love is given, but trust is earned. You can love someone and forgive them and not trust them further than you can throw them. And that's very important that you know that. Now, if God tells you to take steps and do something along with the forgiveness, as in once you've forgiven, now he says, I want you to give them something or be kind to them in some way. Again, just know, just don't even ask why, just do it. I like what Mary, Jesus' mother, said at the wedding feast of Cana. She turned to the servants and said, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Listen, let's just take that attitude with our best friend and master, Jesus, and just say, hey, sir, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. So when you said decide, I decide I forgive, and then God lets you know, hey, I want you to send a gift card to that person. Don't fight it. Just do it. But hey, if he doesn't tell you to do anything, don't think you're making a mistake or messing up or that you haven't fully forgiven them. You just haven't heard anything to do. That's fine. But it's most important that you know this. God's not telling you to trust them. He's not saying to put them back into some place of, inner great trust in your life or privilege in your life. They have to earn that, especially if they've been evil or abusive towards you in some way. Maybe this is God's using this to deal with you about a former spouse or a former significant other. And he's dealing with you. Hey, listen, you got to let that go and forgive them and get rid of these grudges and feelings and decide that they're forgiven. He's not saying go out and reconcile with them and fall back into the same toxic environment you were in before. No, this is for your benefit. This is for your happiness and quality of life in God. That you're not carrying the burden and the weight and the grief of what's been done to you by holding on to unforgiveness one more day in your life. And he doesn't make it any harder than this. You make the decision that you forgive them. Now notice, when you decide, I decide they're forgiven, you may feel something, you may not. The most important thing is you made the decision. Made the decision. The Amplified Bible says it like this about the 15th verse of Matthew 6. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go. And now notice this, and giving up resentment. He said, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Listen, God's not holding anything back from you. When we hold on to grudges and unforgiveness, we're holding back God's forgiveness from ourselves. He's wanting to give it to you. He's wanting to have that power continue to work in your life. Listen, daily enjoyment of his forgiveness, whew, it's wonderful. But a daily awareness of how angry you are with someone else, how long you've been like that, 23 years, maybe it's time to let it go. In fact, let's not be coy about it. It's time to let it go. It's time to forgive. It's time to forgive in a godly, selfish way. It's time to forgive for your quality of life and enjoyment. To let it go. Well, they wronged me. Sure they did. It doesn't mean that they're wrong needs to continue to damage your quality of life by you holding on to your grudge and revenge and bitterness and anger towards them. Let's let that go, man. We're not supposed to carry that in our life. We're not supposed to carry that forward in our quality of life. We can't enjoy life more abundantly, dragging this tonnage of weight behind us that's unforgiveness and offense. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Listen to this from the 18th chapter of Matthew. This is the New King James Version. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now notice, he's thinking he's really doing good. Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. That's 490. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Talent was a weight of gold that there's varying degrees of what a standard talent of weight was. But let's just say it like this. It was a lot of money. Because it was a weight, it was a measure of how much weight of gold be, like saying a British pound sterling is supposed to be based on one actual physical pound of silver. And he says, but he was not able to pay. And his master commanded that he be sold as a slave with his wife and children and all that he had, that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him and saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Was that accidental? No, it was on purpose. He made the decision. That person is forgiven the debt. What they owe me is clear. They don't owe me a thing. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii or 100 pennies. Not much money at all. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begged him saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. And came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said unto him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. So he said, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Shouldn't you have done the same thing? Shouldn't you have taken how I treated you and treated them? Shouldn't you have taken the standard of how I forgave you all and gone and forgiven them all? Notice he said, just as I had pity on you. So there was no excuse. Well, that's how he forgave, but I can forgive any way I want to or not at all. No, no, no. He said, you should have forgiven the exact same way I forgave you. And his master held him accountable for it. Verse 34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due. Ooh, his day just went from really good to really bad. Verse 35, so my heavenly Father will do to each of you. So shall my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Notice he's saying it's a decision. And you'll be held accountable for it. Especially now that you know about it. If you know how much you've been forgiven, but yet you go about holding grudges and being offended, there's not going to be a lot in your blood covenant relationship with God that's going to work very well for you, because you're basically, you've yanked on the parking brake, your foot's to the floor on the brake itself. You've jammed the transmission into park. I mean, God has to basically drag you into anything good, because you said, no, I'm not forgiving. Well, can you see how offenses and unforgiveness, it just damages us and by proxy, our relationship with God, our best friend and father, because he can't do anything for us because we're all closed up with unforgiveness and hatred and resentment. But he's also saying it's just one decision away to decide to forgive like I've forgiven you. We can stop his forgiveness from working by refusing to forgive. Listen to the New Living Translation of Mark chapter 11, verse 25. He says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. That's pretty plain, isn't it? So that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. It's so his forgiveness can go to work for us. Isn't that awesome? He said, just get it out of the way. Here, you want to hear how you do it? Let's keep it simple. Sir, I decide I forgive that person. Listen, maybe someone on the internet, on social media, someone you deal with, someone on your job, it's just every time you think about them, you feel anger and bitterness and you feel that, you know, tangy blood taste in the back of your mouth. It's time to forgive. And along with that, it's time to take that problem and put it in God's hands. We've talked about this before. So you just do it. And you don't have to do it word for word, but the heart behind it. Boss, I decide I forgive that person. Call him by name. I decide I forgive that person. And I have nothing against them anymore. From this point forward. And the whole problem with them, I put it in your hands. From right now. I mean, well, do whatever you got to do. If you need to write it down, time it and date it and sign it, do it. But you've made the decision. And you're not going to be moved off that decision. The 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It says this in the Passion Translation. He says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, talking about the men and women of God who've gone on before us. He says, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. Hear that again. In order to move forward in life with God and go on and fulfill our destiny, each one of us individually, he says, we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. Let it go. He says, and the sin we so easily fall into. He said, then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has already been marked out before us. Now, when he says, must let go of every wound that has pierced us, he's implying this. One translation says it like this, or get rid of every arrow tip in us, as though we were shot with an arrow. And the arrowhead is still inside of us, cutting and infecting and damaging. The implication is carrying an arrow tip inside, a wound that weighs us down and keeps us from running our race with freedom. Or get rid of every arrow tip in us. The implication is carrying an arrow tip inside, a wound that weighs us down. I'm reading the same thing again, but it's worth it. Hear it again. A wound that weighs us down and keeps us from running our race with freedom. Isn't that good? That there's an arrow tip. I don't know if you've ever seen some of these broadheads that bow hunters use to hunt deer. They're razor-sided and jagged, and they cut and sever things on the inside. Can you imagine carrying one of those around in us? Talk about pain and suffering. But he's implying that's exactly what happens to us when we carry unforgiveness around on the inside of us. And he's saying it's as simple as this, to decide we forgive. To decide we forgive. God is the gold standard of forgiveness. Now get that. God is the gold standard of forgiveness. Well, hey, listen, that means that how he forgives, we carry out or execute forgiveness the same way ourselves. Now hear this. We decide with our will, not with your head, not with your feelings. Your head and your feelings will get in line if you make the decision in your heart. How do I do that? The same way you decided to accept his friendship and loyalty. I decide out loud in my heart, but with my mouth. I decide right now that person's forgiven. Amen. The 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the 16th verse, I'm going to read it from the King James, says this: "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." I want you to notice that's not an accident. He decided that. He made the decision that he's forgiven. Amen. Come on, man. That's all. He decided not only are we forgiven, but that he will remember it no more. The 8th chapter of the same book, Hebrews, in the 12th verse, Hebrews 8:12, says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." He's using his will in a decisive way to forgive you and me. His mind's made up. He's decided, I will remember it no more. I decide they're forgiven. Well, then you and I can do it the same way. We can make the decisive quality decision. Listen, when those feelings, and they will, but when they feelings and reminders of what has happened to us or what's been done to us or what we saw that ticked us off comes back, you hold firm in your decision that you have forgiven. I've been there, man. Decide someone's forgiven and the thought of what they've done comes right back and it's like those feelings are all brand new. You feel rage. You feel, you know, flush under the collar. I don't mean just someone flipped you off in the parking lot. I mean angry, man. Full-blown hate. You are not supposed and meant to carry that burden and toxic component of anger and unforgiveness in your life. It'll kill you. It is toxic. Amen. No, we are no more carrying the weight and the burden of the words and deeds of others. Listen, he first loved us, and we love him. That's John, 1 John 4:19. Well, he first forgave us, so we can decide that we love and forgive others. Listen, this is so important to God. We're not just sharing this as another task for you to do. This is a key to no longer carrying around all of that weight and junk and burden and anger that has piled up over the years. And if you want to take them one by one, you can, but you can also just do this. Lord, I decide I forgive everybody and I have aught against none. And someone wants to, there's a thought that wants to pop up. What about this person? And you can go, especially that person. I decide they're forgiven. You don't have to feel a thing. You just need to decide that person's forgiven. I'm seeing somebody out there forgive their ex-spouse or their former spouse. And it become just a burden falling off your shoulders. God doesn't want that junk messing with your life, holding down your quality of life, holding you back from progress one more day. Amen. So be it. The freedom of no more grudges and harbored offenses. Listen, my friend, forgiveness is freedom. And as we wrap this up, just know this. God first forgave you. If anybody had a reason to hold on to forgiveness, it was God, or hold on to unforgiveness. It was God. But he decided, I'm not carrying that anymore. And not only am I forgiving you, I'm forgetting about it. In God's mind, you're as clean and as free and as fresh as Jesus himself. Amen. Isn't that wonderful, man? Just say it with me one more time. And just the saying isn't a ritual. It's a affirmation, and it is an acknowledgement of what you are putting your confidence in. Say this with me. Father, you are my best friend. Jesus, you're my boss. And I believe that I'm completely forgiven. So I decide. I forgive everybody. I'm holding nothing against anyone. And I decide right now that person, the one that's been giving me so much trouble, is forgiven. And I'm free from that unforgiveness. Thank you that your forgiveness is working in my life. Thank you, you're so good to me. Thank you for being so kind to me and loving me so much. You've made me your best friend, and I've made you my best friend. Amen. Isn't that wonderful, man? Listen, life is good. Now, listen, I want to thank all of our partners who make this possible, that we can continue to put out these resources and do it. If you want to, if this has blessed you and you want to be a part of the team that help not only these training courses and resources, but also the podcasts and our further outreaches and travel, go online. And go to Pay It Forward on MisfitToySociety.com. Go to Pay It Forward and do whatever God's telling you to do as far as being part of the team and blessing what we're doing. Listen to me. You, listening to this right now, you are loved and you are a blessing and you're welcome here at the Misfit Toy Society. We sure love you. Thank you for listening. Listen, forward this to somebody else who may be dragging that heavy rucksack full of unforgiveness behind him. Hey, listen, man, you don't got to carry that no more. Today is your day to not have that in your life anymore. It's easy. You're going to have feelings. You're going to have things are going to try to fight back against you. But the decision itself is simple. I decide I forgive. Listen, I love you and God loves you. And we'll see you soon.